All right, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome to our last class. Until it's not. Remember, we continue with Kabbalah 3 next week, okay? So before we start, I want to just do a little meditation to get our mind in the right place. Let's turn off our cell phones so we make sure that nothing's going to disturb us. We're focused for the next hour. This is your space to connect to the wisdom of your soul, the wisdom of the Creator, okay? So let's close our eyes. And one of the most powerful concepts we've learned in Kabbalah is the idea of opening up the vessel, opening up the desire. That's what prayer is all about. It's really not about the Creator, it's about us. Prayer is a tool to open our vessel to receive the light. So I want you to ask in your own language, in your own way. And again, you can ask the external Creator or the Creator inside you. What is it that you need now to empower you? What is it that you need to go to the next level of your joy, of your happiness, of your fulfillment? Whatever blockage you feel, negativity you feel, darkness you feel, that's just the opponent throwing some magic tricks at you, some illusions. You should ignore that. You should rise above it. You should know that you can have everything that you desire, otherwise the Creator would not make you desire it. So ask, because by asking you draw divine abundance to come to myself, to the class, to your classmates, that someone will reveal to you a secret tonight. Okay, open your eyes. So what I want you to do just real quick is if you could just share at your tables, what did you ask for? Just share. And it's important because I want people at your table to know and feel and connect to what you're asking for and what you're desiring. And then for the rest of the class, just try to think of the other person's desire, not your own desire. Try to let go of your desire and try to think about them. I'll give you a quick minute to do that, please. All right, everyone. Okay. So before we get into the main topic of tonight, which is a powerful topic that's going to combine everything we've learned so far in Kabbalah 1 and 2, help create a structure around it, and help us identify where we might be weak and where we can be stronger in our consciousness and our spiritual work. Before we get to that, I wanted to share something that we're going to speak more about in Kabbalah 3, and that is, you know, in Kabbalah 1 and 2, what have we spoken about? We've learned tools, actually better, we've learned weapons against chaos. We've learned how to utilize weapons against the opponent, against the Satan, so that we can access the light. But another way of looking at our spiritual work, and another gift that the Kabbalists revealed to us, that the Creator gave to us, is to understand the terrain of life. What do I mean by the terrain? The Bible shares with us, the Old Testament, which is the main source of Kabbalistic wisdom. The Zohar, by the way, which are the books behind me, are the most powerful ancient texts that delineate the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what the Zohar does is it takes the Bible and literally line by line dissects it and reveals its true meaning, its true practical essence, which is the wisdom that we're learning in these classes. So the Zohar is kind of like the soul of the Bible, while the Bible is like the body, the covering. It's very hard to understand the practical meaning of the Bible without the Kabbalah, which is the Zohar. So one of the things that the Bible and the Zohar shares with us is that if you want to change, It's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to do restriction. I'm going to transform my nature. I'm going to break my fears. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It's important to understand other factors, such as windows in time, energetically. Every day, say the Kabbalists, has a unique energy that affects us. It's like a cosmic environment, a cosmic ecosystem. We learn through astrology that every day has its unique energy. But going further, and this is where people sometimes get confused with religion, there are holidays, energetic holidays, that most people would say are associated with Judaism. And I'm going to be the first one now to tell you that since the beginning of time, for every soul in this world, there are unique days that offer more power, more consciousness, if I choose to connect to them. For example, at the moment that we're now having this class, at this time, the cosmic window is open for a unique energy of miracles, of breaking out of my nature called Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not about a story that happened 2,000 years ago and we're celebrating some kind of tradition. Kabbalah does not believe in that. Kabbalah believes that everything that we has a power, that has an energy, existed since the beginning of time. So if there's a story about a group of people who defeated a large army 2,000 years ago and that produced the miracle, the Kabbalists don't say that that's the miracle. The Kabbalists say that the energy of miracles existed in a potential, and these people just happened to tap into it at that time. So every year, in that same frame of 8 days, there is a potential to tap into it. Because we've all learned by now that we need strength. We need support. We need help. People ask the question all the time. How do I get desire if I don't have desire? Well, there's a holiday for that. How do I get strength to break free of my fears and my addictions if I just feel like I can't? There's a holiday for that. How do I just become happy when I just feel like I'm not in the mood to be happy? No matter what I try, I can't break out. There's a holiday for that. And by holiday, I mean there's a support from above. Because how can you use your own ego to get out of your own ego? How? Your ego, the main tool that you use to get out of your ego, is that very thing you need to get out of. How are you going to use your own fears to get out of your fears? Our negativity blinds us. Knowing that, it's a beautiful spiritual system where there is a support. You can borrow light. You can draw from something above you to give you the strength to push through. It's something we'll discuss more in Kabbalah 3, but I wanted to share it because we're actually in one of those energetic moments now. Passover, for example, is not a Judaic holiday that celebrates something that happened 3,500 years ago that's archaic from the Bible. What happened in Passover in the Bible is that people broke free from negativity. That means on that same day every year, which is the 15th day of Aries, the full moon of Aries. Full moon means the moon is full of light. The moon is the vessel, which is us, full of light. We get light on that day if you want it, if you connect to it, if you're aware of it. And what is the light of Passover? You can break free from an addiction that you are enslaved to. That's really what it is. So at the Kabbalah Center, what we do is we prepare our minds, we prepare our bodies, we prepare ourselves for that 1 hour, it's a couple hours where the light comes down and it's there to draw it. And you start to feel it. You start to feel the ecosystem of spiritual energies that help you. This is a whole nother part of Kabbalah I have not taught you yet that we will discuss more about in Kabbalah 3. And it is actually the most powerful aspect of this study. We've learned what to do. In Kabbalah 3, we're going to learn how to do it. Okay? You guys excited about that? All right, I'm excited too. So let's go now to the main topic of tonight. We have what I like to call the miracle formula. The miracle formula. Who does not want to know what the miracle formula is? I mean, geez, what else could we call it? It would make you more excited than the miracle formula. Everything we've learned can be divided into four parts. So I want all of you to take a blank sheet of paper, all right? Take a blank sheet of paper. If we need more, we'll get some. Take a blank sheet of paper and divide it into a plus sign. Four boxes. Give me four boxes, okay? Box number one, it's going to look like that. Box number one, I want you to write down maximum spiritual work. Maximum spiritual work. Box number two, I want you to write down maximum physical work. Maximum physical work. And I'll explain what that means. Box number three, I want you to write down the certainty formula. Box number four, I want you to write down prayer. Prayer. Okay? Now let's go through these boxes. Each one of us, and I'm going to ask you to do this in a moment, I'm going to ask you to choose an area in your life that you want a result or a breakthrough. You want to break through and you might feel like you're hitting a wall or you're stuck, you're just not there yet. Maybe you're getting close, you feel you're getting close, you feel you're making progress, but you want to make a breakthrough. Can you think of that area? I want you to write it down somewhere in the corner, tucked away on the paper. Just write down that area. The question is why? Why do I not have my breakthrough? I'm doing the work. I'm being less reactive. I'm asking the light more for help. I'm breaking my fears. I'm learning about my astrological sign. I mean, I get it. I'm a Taurus. I get it. Whatever it is, how come I'm still not feeling the light? Isn't it true that if I turn on the light, the darkness disappears? Yes or no? Is this not what we teach here? So how can it be if I'm really accessing the light, I still have darkness? I still don't feel good. I still have negative thoughts bombarding me all day long. Still I'm stressed out and I feel out of control in my life. I still feel like I can't fix the relationship with my son. Or I can't connect with my brother. Or I still have issues with my parents. Or I fight with my spouse all the time. Or the passion's not there anymore. Or the sex isn't there anymore. Or the communication isn't there anymore. How can it be? I'm doing the work. I feel I'm growing, but I feel certain areas of my life are getting more chaotic. I don't get it. Is that the light? And it's a complicated question, but there's simplicity to it. The Creator wants us to be our perfect selves. And out of these four areas will include all the aspects of our spiritual work. But the problem is we're always going to be weak in at least one of them. And Satan knows that, and he plays on our weakness, and he manipulates us. What Satan makes us do is focus on three major areas, but ignore the fourth. And remember, what did we learn about the light? The light is what percentage? No, it's not 99%. Well, I understand why you said that, but the light is all the way or halfway, partway. Remember, I think we talked about this. The light is all the way. 100%. Remember we talked about this? If you want to get an answer, go 100%. If you want to find a new career, go 100% at the career you're in to reveal the light so the light can push you out. But if we're always wishy-washy and afraid and we don't want to commit, we're not sure, I'm not sure if it's my path, if it's my this, if it's my relationship, that's the epitome of Satan and that's the epitome of chaos. And we will be slaves for a long time until what? Until the Creator has mercy and gives us so much pain that we finally commit to do something. People don't leave so-so relationships. That's the problem. They either will stay and commit when it's amazing, or they'll leave when it gets horrible. But when it's so-so, what do people do? Satan loves so-so. Satan will never give you chaos. It's the creator that pushes us in a painful place so that we break out. So if we want a breakthrough, we have to proactively look at these boxes and see where we need work. And I want to invite maybe people who haven't shared before, or maybe are a little more quiet, but they're eager for a breakthrough, to come up, and with the support, the prayer, energy of the class, we're going to help. We're going to help you have a breakthrough. I've done this in prior classes, and it opens things up. It's a miracle. When you come into this little zone right here, it's like its own little time zone right over here. Something opens up, all right? So I want you to just have that in the back of your mind. You did it last time, Peggy?
Yeah.
I did. I remember I brought you up. Might bring you up again. No, I'm joking. Maybe I'm not. Let's see. All right. Let's start with the first box. What does it mean to do maximum spiritual work? That's going to be different for each person. However, do you know when you need to work on something? When the Creator reveals it to you. So if you found out, wow, I am a judgmental person. It's unbelievable. I just realized how judgmental I am. The moment you realize it, the clock starts ticking. From that moment on, the universe expects you to change it. If you don't know about it, it doesn't mean you're off the hook, but it means it's not the responsibility. By the way, everyone in this world, I don't care how big of an egomaniac they are, they know of something they need to change. They may try to ignore it. They may try to be blind about it. They may try to be arrogant and think it doesn't exist, but they still know in their heart of hearts what it is. They try to block it out, but they still know. And we all know. Do you know? Have you learned by now at least one thing? Raise your hand if you're aware of at least one thing that requires change. Right? It'd be impossible if we didn't raise our hand. We all know. So I want you to write that down. I want you to write that down in the box. Write down as many things right now that you've come up with that the Creator has revealed to you that you need to work on. A couple points I wrote is, what do I know I need to change? What still bothers me? What kind of fears do I still have? So take a moment to write down whatever you've learned about yourself. Some people will say, well, I'm just too much of an introvert. I'm too shy. I don't like to share. I don't like to share my feelings. I don't like to share who I am. Another person might write, I'm so afraid of being judged. I don't take risks. I don't go out there. I always make sure I have to look good because I'm so afraid of not looking good. I'm afraid of rejection. That's why I don't start my own business. It's just easy getting a paycheck. Whatever it is for you. I'm not saying getting a paycheck is bad, but maybe for you, you know you need to go to your next level. You want to go to your next level. You can't. Now, let me add something about this. Max spiritual work doesn't mean that you need to completely fix it. Did we say you have to completely fix it? What do we say? You need to do what? You need to? What do you need to do? You need to work on it. The Creator doesn't care if you fix it. The Creator fixes stuff. When you've done your max effort towards an issue, the Creator removes it from your soul. Did you know that? And it can happen while you're sleeping. Often it says when you've really made the max effort, like you don't know what else to do. I've done everything. I don't know what else to do. I'm just still an angry person. I don't know. And then you do the third box, which is you pray. You say, Creator, I don't know what else to do. I've done everything. It says that night when your soul goes up, you get a new soul. And that soul is not angry anymore. Has it ever happened to you that all of a sudden you just weren't that kind of person? You didn't have a grudge anymore. You were upset with someone for like 5 years or 5 months, and it bothered you every time you saw their picture, every time you heard their name, every time you smelled their cologne, every time you saw someone that looked like them, every time you met someone that acted like them, every time you met someone who had their accent. And then you didn't care anymore. In fact, you just saw them get married. Little Instagram photo of just the ring. Remember the ring? Just the photo. I said yes. Said yes to what? I said yes. And you look at it and you go, I'm cool with that. It doesn't bother you anymore. What happened? You got a new soul. Why did you get a new soul? Without Kabbalah, we all get new souls after 5 years of agonizing over something and pain. Because we learn, what does pain do? Cleanses us. So 5 years of pain eventually will cleanse you. But if you work on this stuff proactively, you don't need 5 years of pain. You need maybe 5 minutes of pushing and prayer and the whole box. Just do the whole box, 5 minutes. 5 days maybe, 5 weeks if it's a big tikkun. Kabbalah is not going to help us circumvent our issues, but go through them much quicker with mercy. So you got to just work on it. Do your max. Do your best. That's all the Creator wants, your best. And your best is different from my best. Some of us are stronger, so our best requires more of us. Some of us are weaker, so we don't have to do as much. You just have to do your max. Maximum physical work. This one's a little bit obscure, but let's go through it. What does society require of me? It's important that physically our body is involved in this world. Do you have a body? Yes or no? Do you have a body? Anybody here doesn't have a body? You have a body, right? The soul has bread of shame, and so does the body. The body also has to remove its bread of shame. How do I know? Because if I don't go to the gym, my muscles will go through atrophy and I get weak. And I will become lopsided if I don't go to the gym, if I don't exercise. How come bodies don't just become stronger by not touching them? It's like you have to weaken the body by breaking it, and it's what makes it stronger. So the body needs to go through effort. Someone can be the most brilliant person in the world but not have a breakthrough in their career because maybe they just wake up every day at 9 o'clock and then they just look for a job. But they're so smart and they have the best resume. Where's the breakthrough? It's because you physically have to make the effort. You always have to make the effort. What are some reasons why we might not make an effort? Maybe because we have a trust. We have a trust and the trust takes care of my basic needs. So I don't have that much pressure to figure it out. Maybe my parents still take care of my stuff. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, by the way. We always have to look at how things are affecting us. If something is making you not work hard physically, don't think that you got a free pass. You still have to exert. You have to introduce yourself into society. You have to give of yourself. If you have a great energy, right? You're charismatic. Your friends will say you're charismatic, right? So if you lock yourself up in the house and you don't share your charisma with people, you're not doing your max physical. If you have a gift, you have to share it. If you can see the good in people, then you need to be out there creating goodness. If you have the ability to create music, you need to be out there making people happy with it. If you have the ability to coach or to guide people or to heal people in some way, you have to in some way utilize your gift physically in this world to finish your tikkun and to have a breakthrough. Any gift you have to make other people happy with it. Now, what does Satan often do? He makes you only do that. He says, just sing for the world, just act for the world, just be a great doctor, save lives, that's all you need to do. And it's not true. You have other tikkuns. You can't just be a great doctor in the office and come home and be abusive towards your wife or your husband. You have to do all the box, the whole box. Am I taking care of myself? Part of connecting to the light of the Creator, say the Kabbalists, you need to take care of your body, your health. You cannot spiritually abuse your health. If you're doing something that has no positive outcome, but you're just doing it and it hurts your body, it could be stopping you from being successful in your career, to having a peaceful relationship, to finding someone, to finding the right friends or the business partners who won't cheat you just because maybe you eat the wrong food. And only we know what's right and what's wrong, by the way. We know. The Kabbalists say if you have two foods in front of you, now don't take this literally, it could be more metaphoric. If you have two foods in front of you, and you have a choice between which one to eat, it is a short circuit to eat the one that's not good for you. Because if it hurts your body houses your soul. And by the way, when you're not taking care of yourself, are you happier? Yes or no? No. Do you have more energy? Yes or no? Are you smiling more? Yes or no? Maybe for the first 5 minutes, right? But what happens is when we don't take care of ourselves, what happens is the body forces us to become takers. So by taking care of ourselves, we can give more to the world. And that's what we need to meditate on. My teacher told me once, you should always go to the gym, but go with the intention of you want to become stronger to share with the world. Don't stand in front of the mirror and look at your triceps for 20 minutes and be impressed and think that that's going to get you now new pathways in life. It's like, that's the satan. Take care of yourself so you can give more to the world. The certainty formula. Sometimes we're weak in the certainty formula. We learn this. Certainty that everything is from the Creator. Certainty that the Creator only sends me good. What I'm going through, it's good. I don't know how. I don't know when it's going to reveal itself to me, but I know it's good. And certainty that everything is from the Creator and helping me change for the better. The final box, asking the Creator for help. It's the only way to remove the ego. People who don't ask the Creator or ask the Creator inside them, there's a danger that they think that they're the ones that are going to solve their own problems. They're the ones that are in control. Until we realize, guys, that we are not in control, the light is in control, and we are only in control of channeling the light or not channeling the light. Until we realize that, we're going to have a hard time figuring life out. When does a person realize he's not in control? At what junction in his life? The painful times. Pain comes, and then the person realizes, wow, I don't really know what to do here. I thought I had it all figured out. And that is why no one can escape pain. Because everyone, to some degree, has the ego that they're in control. Because when good times come, wow, look what I did. When bad times come, God, I don't understand why you did that. That's the way the opponent works. So when we ask the Creator for help, we ask the Creator for guidance, we ask the Creator for clarity, we ask the Creator for desire. I've been getting this a lot lately. I don't have desire. Yeah, I want to be successful, but I don't really know what to do. I don't really know what I want. How do I want more? How do I desire more? It's a great question. Ask the Creator for desire, because you want to know one way I've seen people desire more? If all of a sudden you didn't have a job and you had no way to pay for your food and your rent, I guarantee you're going to have some little more desire than you do right now. You're going to figure it out. Figure it out. Best thing that happened to some of us is that nobody helped us. And then we had to figure it out. Right? And we got upset with our friends, upset with our parents, upset with the people who wouldn't, upset with the banks, upset with whoever. And then we got upset, we prayed, maybe we didn't realize we were praying, we worked hard, we fought, we called, we effort, we sweat, and then we had a miracle. And we found out more about ourselves. We accessed the light. So asking the Creator and talking with the Creator is the best way to get information without pain. I don't know about you, but I personally am tired of having to learn things painfully. Are we all in agreement here? Anybody desire the drama? Drama is draining. Drama is draining. So, let's take a moment now, and each person very quickly share at your table, where do you feel you need help? Which box? And then At your tables, please choose one person that you as a table want that person to have a breakthrough. Preferably someone that maybe isn't talking as much. Maybe we haven't heard from them as much, but they're ready for a breakthrough. Come to the magic circle and allow us to support you, to help you with your breakthrough. Okay, guys? Please, let's take a couple minutes to do that. All right, guys. All right, everyone. So, who would like to come up and help us help you? We got pointing, right? All right. Come on up. Come on up. Let's give a round of applause. I'm sorry? That's the energy. All right, Madeline. Do we have the microphone? Eliel, give me the mic. I'll take this. Yeah, have a seat. I'll sit with you, probably. All right. Just introduce yourself for everyone now.
Hi, my name is Madeline. I'm in class with you guys every week.
So what did you realize doing this exercise?
I realized it's the physical work.
What do you mean? Share with us.
I'm not a person of good health. I suffer from fibromyalgia and lupus and I've had a few discs in my neck and back replaced. So I've always been a person of a lot of energy, a lot. And so now that I've had these illnesses...
When did the illnesses start?
Well, with the fibromyalgia, one day you'll feel really, really good. And then the next day, you can't even move your head, your arm, your neck. And so, they give you medicine. I've tried stopping the medicine, just to see if I could get back that old energy and be my old self. And
when did it start, though? How many years ago?
Okay, it's been almost since 2000.
Okay, so 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why do you feel you're not doing your maximum in this area? By the way, just because you have things that are taking mm-hmm. your energy away, it doesn't mean you're not doing your best. Now, let's say the doctor said, "Well, Madeline, you need to be doing X, Y, and Z," and you ignore that. That spiritually is the short circuit.
Okay.
Because if the Creator is going to bring you healing, you can't just pray for the miracle. You can't just work on all the other boxes and say, "I have certainty," or "I believe God," or "someone's going to come and heal me." Mm-hmm. The Creator can only come down when you've done everything you can in every area. And the Creator will send the doctors or whoever it is who you trust to give you the message of what to do physically. Do you feel like you're doing everything in your power physically to heal yourself?
No. And just recently, in the last 7 months, I had a nodule removed from a lung. A year ago, I had the same thing happen. So just when I'm feeling like I'm doing the best that I'm finally getting out there. When I retired, my dream was, as I told the girls, to go help people in the hospital. I've seen kids that can't hold their head up. They need to eat. Elderly people. That was going to be my mission, to help.
But now you feel you can't?
I still want to do it, but sometimes I don't even get up till 11. And then my body is like your morning. Well, my morning is at like 9 o'clock at night. I'm wide awake. It's hard for me to sleep. I'll read my Kabbalah books, watch Kabbalah on TV till 3 a.m. It's my brain's just going.
So what can you do?
I don't know. I think I've tried different things going to
bed. Why can't you go help in the hospital?
I could if I didn't feel sick at times. No?
You don't think you could just go for an hour? I'll tell you something. A great story that I once heard from the founder of the Kabbalah Center. So he had a party once, mm-hmm. and it was for his daughter's wedding, and he invited all his students. And sitting at the table, one chair was empty. And... he saw that one of his students wasn't there. So, he kind of got upset, worried a little bit, said, why wouldn't he come to a very important occasion?
Mm-hmm.
So the next day when he saw him, he said, why didn't you come to the wedding? And he said, I was so tired, I just knew that I couldn't make it. So the teacher told him, he said, I have a question for you. Did you start walking towards the wedding and get halfway there and realize that you absolutely couldn't make it? Or were you sitting on the couch and you realized you couldn't make it?
Thinking about it. Mm-hmm.
So what was the lesson? He wasn't saying, I wanted you to be at the wedding. He was trying to teach a student a major lesson in life. Mm-hmm. You have to walk towards the hospital.
Okay.
You have to go. And even if you're there for 2 minutes and you realize, I'm exhausted, I can't do it, and you go back home, you've revealed the entire light of the day and you've actually helped all those people you were going to help. Because it's not about what you do or what checklist you check off or what box or all the things that most people in society measure. It's about, did you do your max? And the max means that you did everything until the point you couldn't do it. And that's when the creator comes in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that something you feel like it will help you understand what more you can do?
Yes. It actually, as I was mentioning to them, I called Rachel this afternoon or texted her. And I said, is there Kabbalah class? Because I wasn't able to come last week. And so she said, yes, she texted me. Then I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to make it. It's late. And then I remembered what you said. You said, Satan's going to come and he's going to tell you, and you can't make it. And my car was acting up. So then I said, forget it. And just put gas in the car and came. And the ride was actually better than it's been in all our classes. So it was.
Isn't that interesting? That one class that's supposed to change your life, we said, Satan will make sure you don't go to that class.
Right. And I'm glad I'm here. No, thank
of course.
You.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you. Who else would like to come and share something? Sally? All right, come on up, Sally. That's good. That's good. Everyone volunteered you. Please give her a round of applause. Come on. All right. Talk to us. Tell us what's going on.
I feel like I have a lot of creativity. Okay. I have a lot of creativity and a lot of gifts that I kind of leave dormant so
How
that
old
I
are you?
Can do 34.
34, okay.
To try to live a like respectable job.
What
so
do you do?
I'm an accountant.
Okay.
And I don't care about accounting at all.
You don't care about accounting. So why did you become an accountant?
I just kind of fell into it and people kept hiring me and kept promoting me. And so it was just
here we are.
Yeah, it was just there.
All right, so what are some of your gifts?
I'm an artist and a writer, and I've just always been drawn to helping professions and counseling, but I don't do those things. I mean, I do them in my office for those people
for yourself.
That are around.
Oh, yeah. You do them, okay, privately,
yes.
But not publicly.
Yes.
So what would you say is your biggest weakness here?
I think the certainty formula, mostly just because of the self-doubt and kind of trying to figure out how to take these arts and kind of more...
What are you afraid of?
I guess just trying to make it financially stable.
Because if you pursue your passion, mm-hmm. what's going to happen financially? I can be able to pay the bills, right?
Yeah.
Is this a problem a lot of people have, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Right? In fact, the number one reason why people don't follow their passions is the financial drawback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how are we going to solve this problem for all of us tonight? What should we do? Huh?
Uncertainty.
Yeah. Uncertainty. What's a big deal? If you follow what you love and you believe that's the way you bring light to the world, is it safe to say that's what the Creator wants you to do? So is the Creator ever going to abandon you if you follow that path? Intellectually, we all say no. But you'll never know unless you try it. And I'll be the first person to tell you that I pursued a path that had no financial anything because I just believed in it. It was my passion. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the world was against it. And I wouldn't even know how to pay bills or do anything. But in the end, it worked out in amazing, miraculous ways. And I got to do what I love, which is this. As opposed to not doing this, I started doing this when I was 20 years old, And I had a different pathway set for me, but I had a community around me that said, don't worry, break your fears. The Creator will be there. And it was so reinforced in my mind. Intellectually, I said, makes sense, makes sense, makes sense. But it's true. You'll never know it's true until you do it. You'll never know it's true. Now, there are irresponsible ways. I've seen people just say, yeah, I'm just going to play music. And then we'll get our money. And then all of a sudden, you know.
That's my boyfriend.
Huh? That's your boyfriend? Yeah. So we have to be careful. We're not, if you're going to pursue your passion, you have to pursue it with box number two in mind. Maximum. And create a business plan around it. Because if you don't create a business plan around what you love, it means you can't sustain what you love. It means you're being selfish because you're not going to really help people. You understand? If you don't take care of yourself in what you love and create a business around it, you're not going to be able to help more people. So in essence, that is selfish. So knowing that, what do you feel you need to do? If you had no fears and you knew that the Creator does actually exist and the Creator is going to take care of everything as long as you play by the spiritual rules, what would you have to do differently in this week, in this month, moving forward?
Just write every day.
Just write every day.
Allow the ideas to actually come instead of suppressing them. Because they're always there.
Does that mean you have to quit accounting?
No.
Can a person still do their job by day? You know the greatest Kabbalists? They had other jobs. The person who founded the Kabbalah Center, he had another job. And at night, he would teach throughout the night to his students. And then in the morning, he would go do his construction. Did construction. Most mundane thing as construction for him. And then he goes and he teaches the most powerful wisdom to the most powerful people in the world at night. Because he also had to pay his bills. He didn't say the Creator is going to take care of me. But what he did is he maximized his energy. He didn't watch Netflix. Instead of that hour of Netflix, instead of that hour of wasting time on the internet, instead of that hour of just talking to someone about nonsense, instead of taking 2 hours to enjoy my food, he took 20 minutes. And he did his writing. He took 20 minutes. He didn't watch his TV. Maybe in the end of the week, just for a little pleasure, a little energy. But what he did is he gave energy into what he loves. Do you think that there's more hours in the day that are going to a place that is neither your work or your passions, but somewhere that it's not really helping anybody?
Yeah.
Even 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
That's the secret. She shouldn't quit her job. That might be irresponsible. She first needs to maximize the wasted time. Once you maximize the wasted time, the Creator is going to show you what to do next. But until then, the Creator cannot come in into the maximum. All right, great. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
One more. Would you like to share back there? All right, come on up, come on up. Give him a round of applause.
Okay, my name is Ali. I'll be 40 in two weeks and a half.
You're going to be what?
I'll be 40 in two weeks and a half, yeah.
What do you do?
I do interior design.
You do interior design. Mm-hmm.
So I have trouble having conversations with people.
Like this?
Like this. Like it was not very easy for me to stand up and my heart is coming out now.
Right talking. Now your heart is pounding outside your chest. Okay. What does it mean it's hard for you to have conversations? Tell us more.
I think my problems are to get myself interested in a subject to continue talking about it like with somebody.
You don't want to because it's boring, because you're afraid of what they'll think, you're afraid you don't know enough, you feel like you're better than them. Why don't you want to be in a conversation?
I think I'm more worried to be boring.
You're going to be boring.
Boring, yeah.
You're not going to know enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that that's not contributing to society?
Probably.
How do you feel this blocks you? Are you in a relationship?
I am,
But you have conversations in your relationship.
That's actually the reason I came here to talk, because my partner, he talks a lot.
Is he here?
No. It's so hard to to steal the conversation from him because he doesn't stop talking.
What sign is he?
He's a Capricorn.
He's a Capricorn? What sign are you?
Capricorn.
Oh, so you're both Capricorns.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And so he talks a lot, but you don't.
But I don't. And if I get mad, I tell him, then he said, okay, you talk now. I said, well, now I don't know what to talk about because you didn't let me talk during the conversation. Now I cannot engage anymore because that conversation passed already. And
so it's a Capricorn way of thinking.
And he loves watching TV.
Yeah.
Like when he comes home from work, he wants to watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Till 1 a.m. till he falls asleep. And
what do you want?
I don't want.
What do you want?
Well, I like to engage in a conversation. I like to. We're both. We're both artists. He does key arts. I pushed him to do art pieces. I sold his paintings to my clients, so there are so many things that we can do. But
you don't feel.
But
connected.
I can't.
You don't feel like you're connecting with him. How long have you been together?
Almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Prayer. What do you do in that category?
I actually have a hard time in that too because I feel like I was raised in a religious country, but my...
Which country?
I'm Iranian.
You're Persian?
Persian. Yes. So my dad never believed in religion.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was spiritual. When I was a kid, she would pray and things, but then later on, it all went away. And I don't... I mean, I can say I
have you tried? How about this? Instead of praying to the Creator, mm-hmm. How about you pray for your partner? How about you pray, have a picture of him, wherever you go, and take time throughout the day and just look at his picture and pray for him. Pray that... And also you can pray to the Creator simultaneously. Ask the Creator and say, help our relationship. Help show me what I need to do. Help give him the strength to be the best partner. I need help. If you pray for your partner, by the way, the number one thing to do in a relationship that you feel stuck in is to pray for the person. We sometimes jump that step and we confront the person. We have to pray for the person. We have to ask the Creator, what do you want me to do? Obviously, the Creator doesn't like that you're in a non-communicative relationship. Creator wants you to be happy. Creator wants to see love and joy and unity. So if you ask the Creator to help you, something opens up in him and in you. But if you don't have that desire and that begging, then you'll always be in this like mediocre place. And it will wear away because you're in that critical moment in your relationship. 4 years is a critical moment. If it's not going to get better now, it's not going to get better. So now is the time. Prayer to invest. Maximum spiritual work. Whatever it is you're afraid of, bring it up. Read books about it. I know someone, who was it over here? I forgot who it was, one of the ladies shared about... Jasmine. You said something. What did you say? You said you don't even know, huh? What is it?
What?
You don't even know how to change something. What was it? I overheard you before I walked away. You said you don't even know where to start.
Oh, yeah, because I have a fear of rejection, so I don't know where to start with that.
Where do I start with the fear of rejection? You know where you start? What's max spiritual work? Read every book about it. Read every book about it. Listen to every Kabbalah class about it. Make the effort that the Creator will show you. Once you do that, like someone asked me, what's the best way to learn about public speaking? Well, number one, to do it all the time. But you know what helped me? Read every book about public speaking. Even though you're going to learn nothing from reading the books. You cannot learn public speaking from reading about public speaking. But the effort of reading about every book then will introduce you to the mentor that will help you, introduce you to the this, to the that, to this, to the that. So if you want to learn about how to communicate better. Read every book there is about it. Talk to people about it. Ask. Pursue. Don't wait. And in the prayer box, pray for him. Pray to the Creator every day. Just ask. Eating your cereal, ask. I hope he has a good day. I hope we can both open our hearts. I hope we can have love and unity. Creator, show me how to do it. that make sense? It's huge. It's an issue all of us have. It's a tool I use in my relationship all the time. Constantly praying for my spouse, praying for my son, praying for everyone I can, even before I go talk to them. I want the Creator to be involved in every conversation. Otherwise, people clash. Relationships are triangular. What are relationships? Triangular. You two and the Creator. Most powerful thing I learned about relationships in Kabbalah from my teacher is you give to your partner and you receive from the Creator. Because if you give to your partner and you look to receive from your partner, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed and you're going to get angry and you're going to start fighting. Give and say, okay, I gave. I truly unconditionally love you. Now, Creator, please sustain me, show me. Now, maybe the Creator will tell the partner to give back to you, but the idea is the Creator is arranging it. Everything is about the Creator. And it will give you the peace and the calm you need when you don't feel you're getting back what you want. Because when we don't get what we want, that's when we become nasty people. We become nasty or we shut down. Either way, we are not building the relationship, we are destroying the relationship. Most people destroy relationships because they just don't know any better. They feel lack, they don't know where to go. They take energy from the one person they see or from someone else, which makes the relationship even worse. The only safe place to receive energy is from the Creator. We have to have this relationship. And if it's hard for us, we don't know what it means, fight through it. Talk with your mentor. Learn more about it because it's the only safety we have. We cannot take from people. We will always backfire. My goal in life was always to get to a place I don't have to receive it. I don't have to take anything from people. Now, to receive from people because it makes them happy, because it brings them joy, because it brings them, you know, when your mom cooks a meal for you and you eat it, who enjoys more? You or your mom? The mom, so happy she is. So you do it because you give her pleasure. That's okay. But don't use people. When we feel lack, we use people and then we hurt them and then it ruins. That's why the first relationship anyone ever has usually ends up really bad. Because they don't know, they just take. And then they burn the relationship. And only later do you learn, wait a minute, I can't take from the person. It's a little more complicated. So you give, you take, you give, you take. In the beginning, we give so much, so it's beautiful. Everybody gives. No, where do you want to go? No, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? I made you this fresh orange juice. I squeezed it myself with my hands. Like 2 years later, it's like Tropicana from the carton. Maybe. There's your orange juice. There's your orange juice. Go get your own orange juice. So in the beginning, we're so excited to give and we don't even want to receive. We're just so happy to be in the presence of this holy person. Right? Just me knowing you're in my life is enough for me. You don't have to do anything. But when that fades, you need the Creator. You need the Creator. Otherwise, what's going to give you the strength to do the orange juice for the rest of your life? Every day. Every day to be excited about squeezing the orange juice with your hands, smelling like an orange half the day. But you know that, you know, you inject the love for them. It's only, I'm getting energy from the Creator. The Creator is loving this right now. That's the only place I want my source, my energy. Sounds good? You have a good plan?
One more thing I want to.
Yeah, go for it.
So, again, it's with the partner. He tends to talk about people and judge them, but he says that, well, it's my opinion. I'm not judging.
Everybody says that. Everybody says, I'm not judging, and then they judge.
And I said, well, you just said that. How can you say that you're not judging if it means no, this is my opinion. I can't say otherwise. This is what I believe in. I believe that this person is this. So I can't say otherwise. So, but I can't argue that because...
Why are you arguing it?
I hate judging people. I don't like anybody to talk about anybody else in front of me.
So let me tell you something. Go through the pain. When he's judging people, that's your test, not to judge him. Mm-hmm. The worst thing to do is judge someone that they're judging someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's actually the worst level of judgment. Right? So that's your test. Because if you say, I don't like judging people, And I'm upset that you're, it's like, you're not really following it, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to be the light. Be the light means I'm the light. You can judge whoever he wants. Yeah, but we're partners in life. Don't fall for that. You're partners, but you're your own self. You be the light. Be the light. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. He's not studying Kabbalah. He's reactive. Just be the light. Be the light. It's your test. The Creator gave you this person because he's perfect for you. Perfect to help you elevate. But you're never going to elevate if you get into the mess. Be the light. And then also, Satan will get you from the other end. Wow, look at that. You're not judging. You are the non-judger. You are so much better than even him. You're just smiling, holy, spiritual. Satan comes from that way. You say, Satan, no, shut up. I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to pray. Right? Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because the judging can happen by confronting him and telling him, hey, stop. And the judging can happen inside as you're smiling and seemingly spiritual. Oh, yeah. And in your mind, you're like, you're a horrible person. You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. It's just got to be the light in every way. And then the Creator will elevate him. Because if you're the light, how can darkness exist with the light? Mm-hmm. So if he has darkness, he'll feel compelled to change. He'll just change. It'll be a miracle. Sound exciting?
I hope so.
Certainty box, all right?
Certainty, yes.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the 10 weeks of Kabbalah 2. We're going to see everyone for Kabbalah 3 next week. All right? Thank you guys very much. Thank you.